All right, we're on the air, ladies and gentlemen, and Pastor Eli James here. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, September 18th, 2015, and we're waiting for some major developments here along the lines of Jade Helm and CERN and all of the conspiratorial stuff that's been going on, and Rabbi Kahn claiming that America is going to be judged on the so-called Jewish holiday this year. Of course, this Sunday we're going to be doing an expose of the Kol Nidre. This Sunday, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and I on Bloodline Sunday morning, we're going to do an expose of the satanic Kol Nidre, the prayer to the synagogue of Satan. And so that will be our focus this Sunday on Bloodlines. And so let's play the theme song while we wait for Greg to call in. One of these days, we'll get all integrated and all the right buttons pushed at the right time. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James, along with Pastor Greg Howard, Yahweh's Covenant People, on this Friday evening, September 18, 2015. How are you doing, Greg?
Brother, don't even ask.
Okay.
It's a little crazier and crazier, and I am praying for Yahweh to hasten the end of this age.
Yes, I've been praying for that too. Yeah, but it looks like Germany may be hastening the end of Angela Merkel's tenure in Germany. I've been circulating a video of Merkel giving a speech, and for like 45 minutes, the crowd just booed her from beginning to end, couldn't even hear a word she said. Okay.
In spite of Jewish efforts over the last 50, 60 years to shut Germany down, our people will rise up.
That's right.
They have to. Even though right now tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Satan's children seem to be flowing into our countries around the world.
Yes.
Yahweh will protect us and will awaken his people in these final days.
Oh,
what a time we're living in right now. Just absolutely unbelievably amazing, right?
Yeah. And, of course, we've known the Jews are behind all this 100%. I just got the word today that George Soros, and put a link up on your folk radio, so folks, please go there and check it out. George Soros has been handing out booklets to so-called refugees in Africa and Asia and the Middle East, handbooks for invading European countries and getting welfare and getting all kinds of bennies. So George Soros putting this information out. So we knew the Rothschilds were behind it anyway, but absolute proof that George Soros is behind it. Okay, so check that out at your folk radio.
Revelation 12:15.
Yep.
And it's cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood.
Amen.
I'm waiting for verse 16 to kick in. And the earth helped the woman. White race is the woman. And the earth helped the white race. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, a.k.a. the dark races, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. We are alive in the most fascinating time, I believe, in the history of the world. The culmination of the age of Esau. We've been blessed to be born during this very complicated, insane, crazy time. It's driving all of us nutty, yet we realize Yahweh's in control. We have a chance to actually see the end of this age and be alive to witness it. That's my greatest hope right now, brother. I struggle to live in this world currently.
Yeah.
How can anyone that sees what we see thrive and succeed in this world? The entire world is arrayed against our people right now.
Yes. Oh, man. Big time. Even our own people. The vast majority of our own people are against us. And
Most of them are our worst enemies. They see nothing. They're deceived. You know, they look at us as Nazis and haters. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that Satan's children are ruling the world right now. This is their moment of dominion. Look what happens when they get dominion. Why they're all going to spend eternity in hellfire. Because during the time they actually could have done a good thing, all they can do is look to destroy the righteous seed line of Yahweh. So,
yeah, and the fact is,
completely justified.
And the fact is, our people are the least racist of all. We wouldn't be absorbing all these people. We would have been bending over backwards to help blacks and Mexicans and Chinamen for all of these decades if we didn't have too soft a heart, right, to take all these people in. It's obvious the white race is the least racist and the least obnoxious of all the races.
Yeah, by far the most naive, altruistic race that's ever lived. You know, when we should have slaughtered other races, we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and to this, we share all of our technology, our wealth, our wisdom. We try to elevate them. I mean, we think we can make everyone like us, when in reality, we cannot make anybody else like us. We are a unique race on the planet, and always have been.
Yes.
No other races. I mean, when I found an identity, I began to realize very quickly why I understood that our race had always been unique in the world. I mean, we are the divine race on this earth. As Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs were the unique race on the planet back in the day, we are that same race today, and we are just as unique. The problem is the Jew today has achieved such power that they have obscured our greatness, our everything, our gifts, our calling of Yahweh. They put such a fog on the planet, nobody can think straight anymore. Very small handful of people on the planet that can think straight. And to me, that's the group within Christian identity. And even we're going crazy just from what's going on in the world. But the situation's got to be temporary.
Oh, man. How can you think straight when every thought and every news line you get is crooked, right? Everything's crooked. There's not a word of truth in the mainstream media. I'm even beginning to think that the sports is rigged, right?
We're not allowed together as brothers and sisters in Yahshua Christ. We're not allowed to celebrate our racial heritage, the greatest heritage that's ever been. God help us if we try to publicly celebrate our European heritage, our true Israelite heritage. We're liable to be hit on the head with hammers by the lunatics from the ARA. We just live in the craziest time ever right now.
Yeah.
Yahweh has clearly called us out to be tested. And I give him thanks for that. Brother, I'm undergoing some severe testing right now. Serious testing.
Okay.
But I assume all of us. I don't say, I assume we're all going through the same type of tests where we are the elect on the final days of this earth, and we are called to an eternity that is beyond our comprehension. Incredible. We must hold fast. We must survive. And we must stay steadfast in our faith in Yahweh and Yahshua Christ in his coming kingdom, in our promised victory that is that's been promised to us cannot fail. There's no way it can fail.
Oh, no. It will happen.
Fail.
Right, and somebody forwarded, we have a Eurofolk Radio chat room on Skype that actually I need to invite you into that, where some rabbi claimed that white people are the Edomites. At least that's what he seemed to be implying, right?
Right now, there's zero chance of that.
Yeah, right. And the Edomites are going to get their just desserts. So I responded, yes, they will.
The same chance of that is that the Negroes are the true Israelites.
Right?
It's been a while, just myself, I'd watch a video or two, or I'd bump into a talk show. The Negro Israelite movement has an occasional talk show.
Uh-huh.
I must confess, I've logged into a few of them, and I just come in as a hardcore troll. You know, they sit there and try to tell themselves that they're the true Israelites on the planet. And I'll bump in and go, you know, aren't we really the beasts of the field at best? I mean, I just get in and go crazy. And, you know, I don't even have a problem doing it because they've been deceived. They're kidding themselves. The blacks are the ancient. Abraham was black. Moses was black. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Christ was black.
Yeah. Yeah. And the black Hebrews, so called, claim that white people are formerly blacks who got. I got a mental block. I'll keep on wanting to call it scurvy. But yeah. The biblical disease that where you got your skin turned white. What was it called? I can't remember now. Oh, Chrome. But, yeah. Anyway, by the way, oh, yeah, Jennifer Dixon and I are going to be doing another show tomorrow. And also in the morning, Restoration Hour, Michael Bowles and I will be doing 2 hours on the meaning and observance of the Hebrew feast days, because the fall feast days are upon us. Okay. And it's not yet leprosy. Thank you. Leprosy. So I made a comment to one of these black Hebrews. Well, you black guys really like those women with leprosy, don't you? So if leprosy is so bad, why are you so attracted to white women? Right. So it's a good way to, a nice cut back at him, right? Okay, so let's go to, I think we finished chapter 5 of 2nd Esdras.
Finished chapter 5, yes.
Okay.
And we're ready for chapter 6. I'll tell you, brother, by the way, I think, you sent me a brief message. I was a guest on Pastor Dan John's show here the other day, a few days ago.
Yeah, Wednesday.
The show, and, you know, just fellowshipping, and I just realized, as much as I wish we could all meet together in person, the internet has at least given us an opportunity to meet together. Maybe we're not sitting in the same room, but in a way, we are sitting in the same room, and it is what it is. This is what we have, and grown to appreciate this kind of online fellowship. So anyway, I enjoyed doing his show with him the other night. He was gracious enough to say, you know, he wanted to have me on again. We'll figure that out. But anyway, we're into Ezra chapter 6.
By the way, welcome to everybody in the chat room that has a terminal case of leprosy. it suits you, right? The white skin suits you. fortunately, it was never fatal. I don't know if it was even fatal in the Old Testament. And several people were actually cured of it. So they seem to have it for the rest of their lives, those who weren't cured of it. And it's hard to say whether, you know, it caused early deaths among people. It was just kind of like a skin disease that, but maybe somebody knows more about it than that. In any case, let's go. Yeah.
I was just going to say, While our universities today are trying to destroy the minds of all of our young people that go to college today with white guilt. You were born white, you should have guilt. You have a white skin, therefore you've had racial privilege your whole life. White privilege. You should be ashamed of your white skin. This is the kind of satanic nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Who's have been promoting via their rule in the academic world. They conquered academia many years ago. All the universities today are just pretty much Jewish indoctrination centers.
Oh, yeah. That's all they are. Yeah.
Many young person in college today, I feel sorry for them. Their brain is being destroyed in almost every class. But having gone through it and being a little older than most people, I'm 60 years old now, which freaks me out. But this is what I understand. If you have, if you're born a white person,
you're a youngin.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You were born to the white race.
All right.
Born a white man or a white woman, you have been called from the moment you were born. The calling is there for you. And Yahshua Christ said, for many are called, but few are chosen. The calling is to be born into the white race.
Amen.
No one is called apart from being born a white person. The calling is being born a pure-blooded white person. Any pure-blooded white person has been called. Esau, when he was born, he was called. The problem is Esau cast off his calling and stood upon it and purposefully mixed his blood with satanic races, and he spit on the calling of Yahweh. Because it says many are called, but few are chosen.
Mm-hmm.
When he was initially called, he was born a pure-blooded white person.
Yes, and that's... Yeah. And that's what predestination is. Predestination is the calling, but not all who are predestinated to be white people are chosen for the kingdom. If they commit evil, they're not chosen.
I must skip ahead and read a quick verse, one of my favorite verses. Certainly, if I was to pick my top five or six verses from this incredible book of Ezra, skipping ahead, I know I'm going to come across it. Here it is, Ezra, 2 Ezra 8, verse 1. He answered me and said, the Most High made this world that we're in now, for the sake of many, but the world to come for the sake of few. And I believe that sums up that verse, many are called, few are chosen. Ezra says it slightly differently. This world was made for many, the world to come for the sake of few.
Yeah.
So everyone born.
That means not many are getting in. Right?
Every white man, every white woman is born with an opportunity to enter the coming kingdom. You know, in a glorified state as an overcoming saint. But apparently, very few will achieve that. And just looking at our current situation, that's easy to understand. Look at your average white man or white woman today. Look at their lack of racial understanding, their lack of understanding who they are, and how quickly they'll take sides with the enemy against those of us that have actually seen and understand the beauty of being born a white man or a white woman, that we are truly the elect race on this earth. We're the ones that are born to rule and reign on this planet. In the coming age, and we're going to touch on that tonight in Ezra, 2 Ezra chapter 6. We get into this kingdom message that the coming age is for the overcoming white saints, overcomers that will rule and reign with Yahshua Christ under the guidance of Yahweh. But the world to come is for the sake of very few. And that's a sobering message, Eli.
Yeah.
Now, I know people believe everybody that is white is going to be saved. And I think we've established from the book of Enoch and his other books that Yahweh will apparently allow many whites into the coming age, but not in as the true overcomers that will have the power to rule and reign. apparently they get in a natural body, not a glorified body. They're basically missing out on what they could have had. But in the mercy of Yahweh, as long as they don't completely, you know, go crazy in this age and race mix and go insane,
right?
Apparently there's some level of mercy for them, which I believe that is who we will be reigning over coming age. Will be mostly the whites that just didn't do well in this age, but somehow kept themselves from going fully over to a sinful lifestyle.
Right. Well, there's a lot of whites, both secular and even Judeo-Christian, I would have to say, who are not prone to commit crime and who are generally decent people, but they're just wrong theologically and wrong politically. Many of them are liberals who, you know, are too kind to non-whites and not kind enough to whites. But they're not evil-minded, you know, for lack of a better expression. So, you know, I have a feeling that they'll come into the kingdom as citizens, but not as the part of the government, which the 144,000 will be. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
I was just saying, you might want to keep an eye on the chat room. It looks like they've got a...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's getting a little testy. We'll see. Okay, well, let's do... here, let me preface chapter 6, 1 with the last verse of chapter 5, verse 56. I said, "If I have found favor with you, my Lord, show me through whom you will judge your creation." So this is... Ezra asking either Yahweh or the angel. I'm not sure who he's addressing as Lord, but certainly Yahweh through the angel. Okay.
Right.
All right. And so if you...
Actually, an interesting question. He's basically saying, "Oh, Yahweh, I beseech thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show thy servant through whom thou dost visit thy creation." Who else could that be? I mean, Yahweh himself has not come to this earth at this point. But his son has. I don't know. I'm not trying to get off on too much of a tangent here, but as we get into chapter 6, we get into this kingdom message, and the message of the two-seed line Christian identity becomes very clear here. Why don't we get into this a little bit, chapter 6. I'll start reading. If your translation differs or is, you know, uniquely, interestingly different, you know, why don't we maybe read both a little bit?
Yeah.
Starting here in chapter 6, he says, "And he said to me, at the beginning of the circle of the earth, before the portals of the world were in place, and before the assembled winds blew, and before the rumblings of thunder sounded, and before the flashes of lightning shone, and before the foundations of paradise were laid, and before the beautiful flowers were seen, and before the powers of movement were established, and before the innumerable hosts of angels were gathered together."
Okay, so there are, you know, yeah, and of course the Bible proves throughout that there are many angels in the, what would we call it today? You know, we call it heaven, or we call it the spirit world, but the scientists today are calling it the multidimensional universe, right?
He's hearkening back here to before this even took place, before the angels were created. So it's hard to say how far back we're going here.
And listen to this comment from my translation. "Nor the vast tracts of air lifted up on high." Well, what science has told us today, there are many levels of atmosphere. Many levels of atmosphere. So, vast tracts of air. Excellent.
Yeah, mine says, "And before the heights of the air were lifted up, and before the measures of the firmaments were named, and before the footstool of Zion was established."
Mm-hmm. Interesting here.
We're going back to the creation of the world here.
Yeah, the divisions. My translation says the divisions of the firmament, and the firmament in the Old Testament in Hebrew is raka, which means expanse. Okay.
Yeah.
It means outer space. That's what it means. It means space. Okay.
Basically, and going back to the creation of the world, the universe, the angels.
Mm-hmm. It's very scientific, and Esdras is repeating the scientific aspect of Genesis chapter 1.
Absolutely. And giving more interesting detail from another viewpoint. It says, and before the footstool of Zion was established, and before the present years were reckoned, and before the imaginations of those who now sin were estranged. I'm guessing here that was a reference to fallen angels.
Okay, right.
And before those who stored up treasures of faith were sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And I planned these things, and they were made through me and not through another, just as the end shall come through me and not through another.
Okay. Well, if we go by John 1, then this is Yahshua speaking, or it could be Yahweh speaking also, okay? Or it could be both speaking as one voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But nevertheless, it is created in the mind of Yahweh, and that's what Paul says, that we live and breathe and have our being in him. Everything exists in him.
Clearly, Ezra is painting a very profound picture of going back to the beginning of the creation of the universe.
Yeah.
Even references before angels were created.
Right.
I mean, we're going back to the very beginning of
Before the Big Bang.
Who knows how far back. I mean, I couldn't begin to put a number on how far back this is going.
Yeah.
Is this a million years? Is this a billion years? I'm thinking of this as a man. Who knows? You just can't even say. But he says, just as I planned these things, and they were made through me and not through another, just as the end shall come through me and not through another. So we see the total control of Yahweh in this crazy, insane world where we actually, once in a while, think the Jews run the world. In reality, Yahweh runs everything.
Yes.
The Jews only run this world as much as Yahweh allows them to run it.
Right. And that's for our instruction.
They are not in control.
It's for our instruction. Yeah.
In one aspect, they are in control. But in the big picture, Yahweh is running everything right now. And that's very encouraging to us.
Okay.
As they heat up and go crazy, and we see the world melting down. It's easy to kind of think Yahweh's lost control of the situation. He has not lost control of the situation at all.
Oh, no, not at all.
He continues here. Ezra asks a most interesting question. And I answered and said, what will be the dividing of the times? Or when will be the end of the first age and the beginning of the age?
This is great. Right, this is the Esau-Jacob passage. Listen, folks. Listen up, folks.
Ezra had a very clear vision that there will be the age of righteousness that will follow this fallen age that we are currently in, that he was in. Ezra must have thought, boy, surely the end is going to come. It can't get much worse than what I'm seeing. You know?
Yeah.
He's going, what will be the end of this first age, Yahweh? And when will the beginning of the age that's coming,
Greg, I have spoken with evangelicals who actually believe that we're in the in the kingdom age already. They actually believe that. So, and I've asked a couple, well, when was the judgment day if we're in the kingdom already? When was that judgment day? Don't you see the judgment happening all around you? Right? How can this possibly be heaven when there's all this violence and injustice? You got to be kidding me.
That's profound blindness, to say the least.
Yes.
So then Yahweh answers Ezra's here with such a fascinating verse. He says, so the question is, when will be the dividing of the times? When will be the end of this first age and the beginning of the age that follows? He said to me, from Abraham to Isaac, because from him were born Jacob and Esau. For Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. For Esau is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows.
Amen.
Very, very profound. We've got to look at a couple of verses here. These are just, first of all,
oh man,
he uses Esau to epitomize this first age, and he uses Jacob to epitomize the age that follows. What do you make of that? Those, you know. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, everything that the scriptures teach about Esau and his relationship with his brother Jacob, it's very clear that Esau and Jacob have had an enmity between each other, just as Genesis 3:15 placed enmity between the descendants of Adam and Eve and the descendants of Cain. All right. And of course, Esau married into the Canaanite bloodline, and therefore it continues that very same curse all the way from Genesis 3:15 until the judgment day.
I'm looking up a verse here online.
Okay.
I accidentally bumped into my homepage on the Drudge Report. It says, Obama picks openly gay man to lead army. But what a time we're living in, huh?
Yeah.
I want to look up a couple of verses here. Eli, you have a Bible there handy?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you looking for?
If you could look up Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5.
Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Oh, yeah. And these, I would say every single prophet of the Old Testament spared no criticism of the Jews, of the Edomites. Okay, every single prophet in the Old Testament. Now, it seems like the minor prophets had a special gripe against the Edomites. Okay, Malachi is toward the end, right? Should actually be very soon before, just before Zechariah, Haggai. Obadiah is good on the Edomites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he's earlier. Hosea? I think he's right after Hosea. Joel? Why can't I find Malachi? Oh, here he is. Yeah, he is the last one. He is the last one. Okay, Malachi what? 1:1?
Yeah, Malachi chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5.
Okay. Getting right through Zechariah here. Okay. An oracle, the word of Yahweh to Israel through Malachi. I have shown you love, says Yahweh, but you ask, how have you shown love to us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother? Yahweh answers, I love Jacob, but Esau I hate. And I have reduced his hill country to a waste, and his ancestral land to desert pastures. When Edom says, we are beaten down, but let us rebuild our ruined homes, these are the words of Yahweh of hosts. If they rebuild, I shall pull down. They will be called a country of wickedness, a people with whom the Lord is angry forever. And, of course, we can just look at Israel today. That country of wickedness.
Absolutely, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. All right. I am looking up here, chapter 26, verse 34 of Jubilees. I don't have my book of Jubilees right in front of me, so I'm.
Yeah. My copy of this Bible, the Revised English Bible, it got left out in the rain one day, and all the pages are buckled up, so it's hard to turn the pages. But, yeah, that's what Malachi has to say. Yeah. And,
can you look up one more verse, please?
Sure.
Romans chapter 9, verse 13.
Okay. Romans 9. Of course, this is the Revised English Bible, so it's going to read very much differently from the King James. But I like it. I really like the translation here. Romans 9, verse 13?
Yep, Romans 9, verse 13.
Okay. Let me back up to verse 10. Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our ancestor Isaac. Yet even before they were born, when they as yet had done nothing, whether good or ill, in order that the purpose of God, which is a matter of his choice, might stand firm, based not on human deeds, but on the call of God. She was told, "The elder shall be the servant to the younger." That accords with the text of Scripture, "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated." So it's in the New Testament too.
Yeah, so we see, you know, there's this clear message that there was hatred from Yahweh toward Esau, even though Esau was the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah. And Esau, you know, he was called. He was a pure-blooded white man. He was the firstborn. The covenant was to go through him. Yet he mixed his blood. He was a known race mixer. And ended up, the scripture recorded the hatred of Yahweh for Esau. And I believe that same hatred is poured out by Yahweh upon any of our kind, that race mixers.
Yeah, and the fact is, Greg, that the race mixers among our people hate us with a fury just as Esau hated Jacob.
Oh, yeah. Right? Amen.
They still hate us. They have Esau's spirit, don't they?
Brother, they do, and, you know, it's, I mean, that's why the Jews love to promote race mixing to us. You know, they love to destroy a white bloodline. I'm sure they get off on seeing a white woman with a black man bearing the child of a black man and realizing they have brought yet another Israelite bloodline to a grinding halt. I'm guessing they just get great joy from it. And yet, unfortunately, our people just, you know, seem to, you know, we're our own worst enemies many times. We don't understand the need for our racial purity to be paramount to us. You know, how important it is for us to remain pure. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that's why one of our main messages in Christian identity is racial purity.
Absolutely.
Why it's so critical, you know. I found the verse I was looking for. I didn't have my hard copy Jubilees in front of me. This is the conversation right after Jacob got the blessing of the firstborn, and then Esau comes into his father Isaac.
Oh, in Jubilees, not in the Bible, in Jubilees, you're saying.
It was in Jubilees.
Okay.
And Esau said, Isaac, his father, hast thou but one blessing, O father? Bless me, even me also, father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac answered and said unto him, Behold, far from the dew of the earth shall be thy dwelling, and far from the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword wilt thou live, and thou wilt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that thou becomest great. This happened. We've seen the Jews.
Yes, the Rothschilds.
Yes. And it shall come to pass when you become great, and dost shake his yoke from off thy neck, thou wilt sin a complete sin unto death, and thy seed will be rooted out from under heaven. What a tremendous prophecy.
Isaac. Rooted out from under heaven. Hey, that's hate speech. Isn't that hate speech?
Isaac must have been a Nazi.
Better watch what you say there, Greg.
So Isaac is prophesying to his own son.
That's right.
Philistine will be rooted out from under heaven. And then verse 35, Esau kept threatening Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And he said in his heart, may the days of mourning for my father now come, so that I may slay my brother Jacob.
Right. Yeah, in other words, what he's saying there is, may my father die now, so that I can slay my brother Jacob.
Because I can't really kill him.
What a guy. Yeah.
This is the heart of the Jew.
That's right. The Edomite, the heart of the Edomite.
I want my dad to hurry up and die so I can kill my brother.
That's right. Exactly.
Mindset of
Jewry. You know, I'm surprised that Jews haven't made a movie about this. Right? I mean, it's got sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and murder. But they never made a movie about it.
Clearly, this prophecy has not yet happened. The seed line of Esau has not been rooted out.
Oh, no. No. We are praying for that day.
So this prophecy, while it's probably not far from being completed, it's still future at this point. The Jews are still with us, so it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Jews are traceable, you know, most of them, back to Esau through his race mixing with the Canaanite satanic bloodlines. He spit upon, you know, brother, he had Abraham for his grandfather, Isaac for his father, and Jacob for his brother.
Right.
Has there ever been a more clear person? You know,
he was blessed.
They're on racial purity than those three.
He was blessed with his family heritage. There's no doubt about that. And
absolutely.
Isaac and Rebekah were his parents.
Abraham, patriarch Abraham, was your grandfather. Isaac was your father. You think he heard the message of racial purity?
He might. Of course, he did. Of course, he did.
And his mother. You know, I think I called her Rebekah earlier. Rebecca, was it Rebecca or Rachel?
Yeah, Rebecca. Right? Yeah, Rebecca.
Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Okay.
Right.
I mean, he was crystal clear on this message of racial purity. And he rebelled. Married out of, you know, he took Canaanite women for wives. He literally told Yahweh, go to hell. I want these women. I don't care what Abraham says.
Right.
I'm attracted to women of other races. I'm going this way.
Yeah, he didn't care. He preferred pro wrestling, hunting, and football. Right?
He did the ultimate sin that a white man can do. He created beings that were never meant to be created.
Right.
Created a cursed race by mixing the holy seed line.
The Edomite nation. Yeah, when Rebecca asked Yahweh why her twin children were fighting each other in her womb, she asked Yahweh, why am I thus? And he said, two nations are in thy womb.
Yes.
Two nations. So two nations sprang from her womb, the Edomites and the Israelites.
I believe these verses also kind of make clear to us why we struggle in this world right now. For Esau is the end of this age.
Right.
And Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. And to that verse, I would add the verse that I read earlier. The Most High made this world for the sake of many, but the world to come for the sake of few.
Right.
It's this world to come where we will be allowed to really be who we were created to be. We were created to be rulers.
Right.
Kings and
Well, this whole scenario from the day that Adam and Eve sinned to the judgment day is Yahweh selecting his remnant for rulership in the kingdom. This is a test. This is a test. And by cracky, most of the people fail a test. Most of them fail.
We are continually, as white believers, frustrated in this current world right now. It's just not every day crazier and crazier to be an awakened white man or white woman in this age.
The headlines are ridiculous. The headlines are absolutely ridiculous. The evil that's going on.
The entire world is arrayed against the awakened white person.
I don't know if people have heard about the headlines in Chicago. Like every weekend, there's a baby chopped up and tossed in the Chicago River, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this world, this is the world of Esau.
Yeah.
This is the world of the evil seed line on the earth, and this is what you get. You get chaos, you get hatred, you get mayhem, you get the dark races far out of bounds of where they should be, and you get the white race that should be ruling and reigning on this earth. We've been shown to the back of the bus.
That's right.
We struggle day to day in this world to survive right now, because we are living in the age of Esau. But the age of Jacob is coming. Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. And then I love this next verse. You can really visualize this. For the beginning of a man is his hand, and the end of a man is his heel. Between the heel and the hand, seek for nothing else, Ezra. I'm surprised I don't have the cross-reference here in Genesis, where when Esau came out of the womb and the midwife put the red thread around him to signify him as the firstborn, the hand of Jacob was holding his heel.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if someone in the chat room could find those verses. I there's somewhere in Genesis. I don't know the chapter, but we should read those, because that's exactly what this is referencing. That's how quickly the transition will be from the age of Esau to the age of Jacob. As quickly as a man holding the heel of another person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob came out of the womb holding onto the heel of Esau. That will be the transition from this age to the next. It'll happen that quickly, that dramatic.
Well, at some point, the real Jacobites have to let go of Esau's heel, right? Otherwise, they become tares, right? When it's Esau's time to go, let him go.
That's in 38. I'm going to buzz over there because I want to read those. Thanks, Troublemaker.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But while you're looking that up, let me finish these verses here. Esau's heel represents the end of the first age, and Jacob's hand the beginning of the next. For the beginning of a man is his hand, and the end of a man is his heel. Between the heel and the hand, Ezra, do not look for any interval. So between the birth of Jacob and Esau and the end of the age, we're to consider it like one age. Okay. But the first advent occurred, what would this be? Well, 1,500 years later. And then the second advent will be 3,500 years later, because we're expecting that second advent momentarily. So, but one thing's obvious, the Edomites are still here, and the Israelites are still here. And we're still duking it out. And if we had any kind of military power, you know, we could get rid of the Edomites easily, because their population is probably less than 1% of ours. But they control our government and our military with their economic system, Mystery Babylon. Okay. Have you got that verse?
I'm not seeing it in verse chapter 38 here.
Oh, for Esau and Jacob?
Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, wait, here it is. I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 38:27. And it came to, let's see. Okay, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee, These aren't the right verses. Troublemaker, what are you doing here?
Well, that's Tamar.
Yeah.
That's Tamar.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm reading.
And Pharaoh's and Zerah.
And that's
the fulfillment of the verse that Judah shall
be
Judah's scepter.
The birth of Jacob and Esau.
That's probably 27, if that's what you're looking for.
Chapter 27?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here in chapter 27, verse 41, Esau harbored a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which his father had given him. And he said to himself, "The time of mourning for my father will soon be here. Then I am going to kill my brother Jacob." And that's the verse you read from Jasher? Or from what book did you
Jubilees.
Read that? From Jubilees. So we can see the Jubilees and Genesis thoroughly confirm one another.
All right, Troublemaker put the right one in here. I got it. We're in chapter 25 of Genesis. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb."
Verse 23,
and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Boy, how true is that?
Mm-hmm.
What a prophecy.
Yeah.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment.
Right.
Named Esau.
Hairy Esau. Right. Now the obvious thing, Greg, it's really obvious who's who, because throughout history, the Edomites have served the Israelites. First, they served Jacob, Israel. They served David, King David. They served Solomon. They served all of the Judahite kings, although they did not serve the Israelite kings of the 10 northern tribes, because the 10 northern tribes became pagans and adopted Canaanite religion, adopted Edomite religion. That's why Yahweh punished them and cast them out. But the Judahites kept Yahweh's law sufficiently enough to be distinguished from the Edomites from then forward. And then, continuing with the dynasties of David, the Zerah Judah, which became the Roman emperors and the kings and queens of Britain in the early days, and the Irish kings and queens as well. And of course, you just read the verse. The Irish are Zerah, the scarlet thread, the Irish kings of Zerah. And then the kings of Pharez merged into the line of Zerah. And so the two tribes of Zerah, Judah, and Pharez, Judah, merged together in Europe. And they became the Tsars, the Kaisers, the kings and queens of Britain, Germany, Denmark, etc., etc. Okay, and all of those Judahite kings and queens had Jewish advisors. In other words, the Jews were serving Judah.
Right.
Jacob
and
Israel.
And they might even have done a half-decent job for a period of time, who knows. But here in this final age, their prophesied dominion has come about.
It has come about.
Yeah, right. You know, starting probably with the rise of the Rothschilds back in the, 18th, early 1800s, you know, they really began to get a foothold in the world financially, figured out how to set up their central banking system, and it's been downhill for our people ever since. You know, once they were able to establish themselves with just colossal wealth, they had the power to subvert everything, everyone, nations, governments, to the point where we're at, where we are right now, which is where outwardly, anyway, Jews rule this world completely. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's obvious who has the ascendancy now. It's the descendants of Edom, just as prophesied.
Yep.
Yeah.
And verse 25, or actually verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. So we see that Ezra is referencing this as a prophetic vision of the transition of one kingdom to the next kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he says the heel, the beginning of a man is the hand. The end of a man is the heel. So mm-hmm. when Esau was born with Jacob's hand on his heel, that was a beautiful divine prophecy yeah. of how there will be two ages. There will be right. the age of Esau. There will be the age of Jacob.
Right.
And Esau's hand on the heel shows, or Jacob's hand on the heel of Esau. Right.
So from the evidence, from the evidence of Jubilees, Scripture, and the Apocrypha, and all the other, Jasher as well, all the Apocryphal books and Scripture conclusively tells us that this hatred between Jacob and Esau will last until the very end of the age. So anybody who says that the Edomites disappeared or that the Israelite, the 10 northern tribes disappeared and the Jews are the only surviving tribe of Judah, that's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. I mean, read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures, Christians. Read them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Ezra continues here. I mean, this. I made a note the first time I read this. It says, the next age is for the seed of Jacob, the white race.
Mm-hmm.
How we struggle in this current age. This is the age of Esau.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Not being allowed to be who we are right now. This is a testing, time of testing for us. Clearly, we are in training for the coming age right now.
And this is not the first time this has happened, because the kingdom of Judah was oppressed by the Edomites for the last, actually from 100 BC until the destruction of the temple, because the Edomites right. took over Judea in those days. So this is history repeating itself.
Look what happens every time throughout history when our people begin to have a racial awakening. Look what happened during the ministry of Yahshua Christ on the earth, who clearly preached race, who clearly preached that he only came to save one particular group, regardless of what the idiotic Judeo pastors today preach. What happened to him? He got killed.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the disciples? They all got martyred. You know? I mean, from that time, was there any serious racial revival, perhaps, up until Adolf Hitler began to preach racial unity, preach the unity of the white race, preach
yeah.
as the true well, enemy, the Jew?
Right. Well, they're really...
What happened to the German people?
The white race was never divided until the early 20th century. Because even up until that point in time, the European nations were pure white.
Absolutely.
But what the churches are the ones who had gone astray. The Catholic Church with their universalism in the Americas, and then the so-called Protestants with their universalism in Africa and Asia, and of course the Roman Catholics in Asia as well. So, because both the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and various other forms of Protestantism had become universalistic and actually imperialistic, wanting to impose their religion upon non-whites, which, you know, Jesus said we're not supposed to do that. Nor are we supposed to harangue people about Christianity. He told the apostles, if you knock on someone's door and they don't want to hear what you have to say, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next house. Right? Yeah. All of this preaching to unwilling people is ridiculous. It's not supposed to happen.
And we can see the hatred for Hitler and the message that he preached. They hate him.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything they can to, you know, kick dirt on him, to destroy him, to spread lies about him, because he preached a message of white unity and whites ruling. And, you know, the Jews in this age will not allow such a message. They'll do everything they can to fight against it.
Right. By the way, there's a lot of discussion about Angela Merkel and her program of race mixing for Germany. Merkel is a communist. She comes from communist East Germany. That's what she is. She's a stooge of the Jews. Always has been. It's just that now the full agenda is being implemented because for some reason, Greg, the Jews, the race mixing and destruction of the white race hasn't proceeded fast enough. So they're pulling out all the stops and they're sending more and more terrorists from the Middle East, from Africa, and from Asia Minor into Europe to speed up the process. But I think I think the Germans and the Europeans are going to have something to say about it pretty soon.
It's hard to imagine that our race is not going to wake up.
No.
Tens of thousands of, you know, Muslims blood in their country.
Right.
What people would sit back and think that's a good thing?
Right. Right.
But that's just insanity. That's the dragon opening its mouth and the floods pouring out, and our people will wake up. There's no doubt about it. They're waking up now, as we speak.
Oh, yeah. More and more people are openly discussing the Jewish question. And it's just a question of time before they realize what the Jews really are. Yeah.
Yeah, even what's her name the other night during the debates, which I can't stand to watch, but what's her name? Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
she about the Jews.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I agree. It was great. And, of course, they're going to... No,
you all you people are pandering to the effing Jews, is what she said. Boy, did she really say that? Man.
Yeah, yeah. They tweet.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I wonder how long she's going to live. I wonder how long she's going to live now, right? After saying, by the way.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the Jews to give her the Mel Gibson treatment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or who's the Jewish comedian that they murdered? They did an unscheduled tracheotomy. What's her name? I have for some reason I'm having difficulty with these actors. Joan Rivers. Yeah, she wasn't even scheduled to have a tracheotomy, but they did it anyway. So some unscheduled doctor came in and performed it, and she died. Isn't that amazing? And that was right after she said that Barack Obama is a homosexual and Michael is a tranny. Right? Right after that. But here.
Came out and said Michelle was a tranny.
Yeah, exactly. But here in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 23, which we just read last night on on Truth or Consequences. This is the doormat verse. This is where Isaiah says that the Israelites will be doormats and allow the other races to walk all over them. Here's what it says. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict you, speaking to Israel. And think about whether this describes our people or whether it describes the Jews. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict you, which have said to your soul, bow down, that we may go over. And you have laid your body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Aren't these aliens? This is Revelation 12:15. They're walking all over us. We're a doormat. The white nations are the doormats for the other races.
Much we are.
Yes.
Right now. Where's that verse again?
That's 51:23, Isaiah.
Well, that's a good verse.
It sure is. It sure is.
Bright, pressing time for us if we don't have the vision of what's going on.
Right, right. All right, let's continue with 2 Esdras.
Yeah, verse 11. So this is right after the picture of the hand of Esau on the heel, and that will be the transition from the age of Esau to the age of Jacob, which is coming up probably quite soon. Verse 11, he says, I answered and said, O sovereign Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, show thy servant the end of thy signs, which thou didst show me in part on a previous night. He answered and said to me, rise to your feet, and you will hear a full, resounding voice. And if the place where you are standing is greatly shaken while the voice is speaking, do not be terrified.
Okay. I think he's speaking to us, too. Right? Because it's going to be shaking when all this starts to happen. It's starting to shake now.
Yeah. The shaking is coming.
Yeah.
It says, because the word concerns the end, and the foundations of the world will understand.
Mm-hmm.
Speech concerns them.
Yeah, and by the way, when the that big explosion occurred in Tianjin, I think is the name of the Chinese city, it was a tactical nuke. It was a tactical nuke. The Federal Reserve had China nuked because they dared to speculate on their own currency. Okay. And the Jews don't like it when other people speculate on currency. That's the Jewish game. Okay. So the Jews were telling China, no, you don't do that. We will blow you up.
The aftermath of that.
Oh, it's amazing.
Definitely
it's just like 9/11. It's just like 9/11. Same type of, they used some kind of tactical nuke. With white powder all over all the cars who were burnt. The paint was burnt off of all of them, and some white powder, just like at 9/11. It was not a gasoline fire, which would have left a black residue.
I know all the cars were instantaneously burnt white.
That's right.
It was weird.
Yes,
I saw the pictures. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He says they will tremble and be shaken. For they know that their end must be changed. And when I heard this, I rose to my feet and listened, and behold, a voice was speaking, and its sound was like a sound of many waters. And it said, behold, the days are coming, and it shall be that when I draw near to visit the inhabitants of the earth, and when I require from the doers of iniquity the penalty of their iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Humiliation of Zion is complete.
Oh, wow. That means us.
That means us.
We will not be spared.
Let me just paraphrase. And when the humiliation of the white race is complete.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently our poor, sad situation right now is completely in line with Yahweh's will for us. This is
That's
the
right.
test that we
That's
in
right.
the final generation.
Yeah, and let me add here, because the Jews are incapable of being humiliated. They have no ability of repentance. Since they can't repent, why would they be humiliated?
Right, and this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaac, that they will sin a complete sin unto death.
Right.
And what would that be? The humiliation of us,
right.
The elect race,
yes,
trying to kill us and being quite successful at
right.
it.
Right. Now, this humiliation, this humiliation ought to come in the form of an apology from all whites to us, because we have been trying to tell them the truth for decades, and they refuse to listen.
I tell you, Eli, we've got to be close to the end of this age. Because right now we're seeing the humiliation of Zion. The elect whites.
Amen.
Being persecuted. We're called haters. You know, we're being marginalized at every opportunity. He continues here, and when the seal is placed upon the age, which is about to pass away, then I will show these signs. The books shall be opened before the firmament.
Oh, hey. We're opening the books. Jasher. Jubilees. Okay. The Apocrypha.
Baruch.
We're opening them. Baruch, exactly.
No.
The books are being opened by us. Nobody else is opening the books.
He continues here, infants a year old shall speak with their voices, and women with child shall give birth to premature children at 3 and 4 months, and these shall live and dance. Interesting verse there. Sown places shall suddenly appear unsown, and full storehouses shall suddenly be found to be empty. And the trumpet shall sound aloud, and when all hear it, they shall suddenly be terrified.
Hmm. Yes. Oh, interesting. Terrorism. Aren't we all supposed to be afraid of terror? There's another passage in Isaiah that says that the Israelites will be running away from things that don't exist. Like terrorists.
Unfortunately,
yeah, like Al-Qaeda. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our people will be terrified at the end. Just
yes.
From a lifetime of misunderstanding and following the apostate Judeo churches, they're going to hear this last trumpet. And they're kidding themselves all this time that they're going to be all excited about it. But I think when it happens, it's they shall suddenly be terrified. Like, the reality will hit them very hard.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, friends shall make war on friends like enemies. That's how crazy it's going to be. Friends will make war on friends. And the earth and those who inhabit it shall be terrified. And the springs of the fountains shall stand still, so that for 3 hours they shall not flow. And it shall be that whoever remains after all that I have foretold to you shall himself be saved, and shall see my salvation and the end of my world.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe here he's discussing the overcomers.
Yeah, for sure.
Through all of the craziness, will survive, will perhaps be spared the tasting of death.
Right.
Will literally be alive as transition in the coming age takes place.
Right, right. And in verse 23, where it says, a loud trumpet blast will sound, striking sudden terror into all who hear it. Again, my message tomorrow is going to be that the Feast of Trumpets will signal the second coming. Okay.
Certainly, yes.
Okay. And this is just more confirmation that that's what's going to happen. Now, those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear will recognize the trumpet when it is sounded. Because, well, let's face it, Greg. We know what the Jews are up to. We know all their tricks. They haven't come up with any new tricks in the last 2,500 years. They're using the same old tricks. They're just using modern technology. That's it. You know, so we can see exactly what they're doing. They're using usury. They're using the fractional reserve banking system. They're hiring shills. That's what they did in the New Testament, in the days of Christ. They hired actors. They hired crisis actors to become a mob. That's what they did. And they're still doing it today.
That creative. They just kind of polish up the old.
Right. Place. It's just now they got television, where in those days they didn't have television. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure they had their own entertainments back then.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I can imagine. All right. Please continue.
Okay, verse 26. And they shall see the men who were taken up, who from their birth have not tasted death. And the heart of the earth's inhabitants shall be changed and converted to a different spirit. Now, I think here he's referencing what Enoch had referenced.
Right.
That
right.
There will be many on the earth that, you know, will be decent people that will, you know, have not lived an evil life, and that will be allowed into the kingdom.
Right.
In their mortal bodies.
Yeah.
They will not.
Right,
they won't become
Israelites, and they won't become the elect. All right, but they will be allowed into the kingdom, and even the Jews are going to realize who we are at that point in time, because Revelation 3:9. Let me turn to it right here, because we know that both Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 say virtually the same thing. However, 3:9 adds a little twist, and it said, as for those of Satan's synagogue who falsely claim to be Judah, I will make them come and fall at your feet, and they right. will know that you are my beloved people. So he can't be talking to the Jews. He's obviously talking to Israel here, because the Jews are differentiated from Israel here.
That's right. The Jews will have to acknowledge at the end that the white race
is God's chosen people. That's right.
And they'll have to fall and worship before our feet.
Right.
And then after that, apparently.
Yeah, but they're not going to repent.
No, they will not.
They're going to hope that by admitting that we're God's chosen people, that that might get them off, but it won't.
Yep.
It won't.
Their destiny is eternal judgment.
And annihilation. Their judgment, their destiny is total annihilation, just as we quoted from the Old Testament.
I mean, what did Joshua Christ himself say about them? You race of vipers.
Right. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You can't. That was a rhetorical question.
You cannot. You race of vipers cannot escape
yes.
the damnation of hell.
That's right. Jesus loves everybody, Greg. Didn't your preacher tell you that?
He called his own kinsmen vipers. So I
yeah, right. right.
Vipers. Yeah.
But he loved them while he was telling him that, right?
Clearly not a Jew.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, Ezra continues here, verse 27 of chapter 6. For evil shall be blotted out. Well, you know, and just that last phrase in verse 26, and the heart of the earth's inhabitants shall be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Converted to a different spirit.
Well,
what
okay.
that spirit's going to be is they will understand at that point who the
right.
white race really is.
Right. And that it's best not to mess with us from that point on. Just as there was the fear of the white man until Esau had dominion. Okay. That fear of the white man.
Another,
go ahead.
One of the great verses in Revelation, and if I had a minute, I'd find it, but where we will share the ability with Yahshua Christ to smite with the rod of iron.
Right.
Clay vessels into pieces. In the coming age, these vessels of clay will probably be these very people that we're talking about here, these ones allowed into the kingdom in their mortal bodies.
Mm-hmm.
If they act up, we will literally be able to probably just...
Well, Yahshua will rule with a rod of iron. In other words, his law will not be violated anymore. It will simply not be violated anymore.
We also have that rod of iron.
Yes. Well, there's that episode. Maybe whoever's listening can... there's a verse in the New Testament where two of the apostles... We're walking with Jesus and witnessed someone committing evil. And the two apostles asked Yahshua, shall we call fire down from heaven upon them and destroy them? So obviously the apostles had the power to do that. But Yahshua said, no, not now. The time is not yet. I don't want you to be doing that just yet. Okay? Just as in the parable of the wheat and the tares, he said, don't try to gather the tares up from among the wheat until the judgment day, because you can't tell the difference just yet. Okay, wait till the judgment day approaches, and then it'll be obvious who the tares are. And then gather the tares, bundle them, and burn them. Again, we're talking about Jews. Okay, so obviously these days of judgment are designed for the very end. And we still have to wait maybe a few more years. I hope it's just a few more weeks. But it's obvious, Greg, that the ramp up of cataclysmic events, both in terms of earthquakes, fires, false flags, is just increasing by the moment. It's increasing by the moment. And the economy is going to collapse, too. The day is coming when people are going to throw their gold and silver in the streets. Yeah.
Yeah. We're headed for some crazy something coming up.
That's right.
What? My prediction would be a major false flag of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, in addition to crashing the economy, some type of false flag.
Right.
Got the come roaring in with all their accumulated military hardware and just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over.
Well, yeah. So the Jade Helm episode has been rather quiet, but I don't see that they have been called home, right? So there's going to be a clash. Yeah.
I'm surprised how Jade Helm has just almost been completely out of the news, which worries me because that makes me
right. It's out of the Jews news, yes.
Anyway, okay. Let me continue here. So we're talking here clearly about the end of this age. He says, "For evil shall be blotted out."
Amen.
"And his speech shall be quenched." So clearly he's talking about the Jews are going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to blot out evil, and deceit is going to be quenched. That means the Jews are taken out of the world.
That's right.
We're living clearly in the time of great deceit right now. Enoch talked much about that. This is the age of deceit. Huh. And how much deceit is in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. "Faithfulness shall flourish. Corruption shall be overcome."
Right.
"And the truth, which has been so long without fruit, shall be revealed." Oh, praise Yahweh. How are those, Eli, how are those verses 27 and 28 read in your translation? Those are two excellent verses.
Right. Yes. "Wickedness will be blotted out and deceit destroyed." By the way, Revelation 12:9, "The beast that deceiveth the whole world." We're still living with that beast. "But faithfulness will flourish, corruption will be overcome, and truth, so long unfruitful, will be revealed." Amen.
I mean, let's face it, right now, the truth is pretty much without fruit, you know?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Okay, Donald's son has put in the chat box Luke 9:54. "When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and to destroy them?'" In other words, they assumed they had the power to do this. Okay.
Perhaps Joshua Christ had unveiled to them what powers they would have in the coming age.
Yeah, right, yeah. But he restrained them and he told them, "No, I don't want you to do this just yet." So we will, those of us who have been elevated, will have that power.
I have no doubt that we will be able to smite with the rod of iron in the coming age.
Yes.
There will be those, apparently there will still be the occasional need. You know, there will be those who will rebel.
Right. Right.
You know, who knows exactly what will be going on in the coming age, but there will be need for the rod of iron from time to time.
Right.
So that tells you there will be some aspect of criminal behavior, of rebellious behavior. Who knows exactly what.
Yeah, and even
there won't be here to corrupt us, but just weakness of our own people, perhaps, that will be allowed into the kingdom, but not in a glorified state. And I guess they go off the rails from time to time.
It's going to be very interesting where the Jews will go once they are being kicked out of the last time they're kicked out of the white nations. And even the Webbot report predicted, and the Webbot report is usually neutral about race and religion. However, the Webbot report specifically stated that the Jews will find themselves more unwelcome in all countries and will be kicked out, and they're already being kicked out of places like Sweden. Okay, so where are they going to go?
I'm thinking
they're
going
to be refugees. They're going to be refugees. Where are they going to go?
A lake of fire, brother.
Yeah, there you go. There's plenty of oil. There's plenty of oil, isn't there?
No, I mean, what better place for them?
Yeah.
Clearly, they suffer eternally for what they've done.
And Greece, Ukraine, Spain. You know, the European nation states are teetering on the verge of economic collapse, And this influx of terrorists into Germany is going to, it's going to shake the German economy. How are they going to run a country where they're constantly having to defend themselves against terrorists that they're importing, or that Merkel is importing for them? You know, so the Jews are bringing it upon themselves.
It's going to blow up in their face.
That's right.
It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. Ezra continues here in verse 20.
Okay, only 3 minutes. 3 minutes left.
While he spoke to me, behold, little by little, the place where I was standing began to rock to and fro. And he said to me, I have come to show you these things this night. If therefore you will pray again and fast for 7 days, I will again declare to you greater things than these.
Amen.
Your voice has surely been heard before the Most High. For the Mighty One has seen your uprightness and has observed the purity which you have maintained from your youth. Therefore, he sent me to show you these things and to say to you, believe and do not be afraid. Do not be quick to think vain thoughts concerning the former times, lest you be hasty concerning the last times.
Yeah, well, be patient. We're being told to be patient, right?
Yeah, maintain our purity.
Right.
Believe, do not be afraid, and don't think vain thoughts concerning all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because now after this I wept again and fasted 7 days as before, in order to complete the 3 weeks as I had been told.
Mm-hmm.
And on the eighth night my heart was troubled within me again, and I begin to speak in the presence of the Most High.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we end it here? Because this is a brand new vision here.
Yep.
And we've only got like 2 minutes left. Let me just read my version here. Verse 33 and 34. That is why he has sent me to you with all these revelations and with this message. Be confident and have no fear. Do not rush too hurriedly into unprofitable thoughts about the past. Then you will not act hastily when the last age comes. Okay? We have to be patient and wait it out. And, you know, I've mentioned this many times. Many of us have wanted to pray to speed this up. And maybe this is just one of those situations where Yahweh has determined the exact date and nothing's going to change his mind, right? Even though Moses was able to change his mind about not destroying the Israelites, right? But maybe this is just one of those situations where he is going to choose his remnant, and until he chooses his remnant and gets that accomplished, the judgment day is not going to come. And the scripture even says that Yahshua himself says, even the Son does not know that day, but the Father only. So it appears that even Yahshua is not going to try to speed it up. All right, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But the sooner the better. You know. But we have to be patient, and if we remain righteous, in the meantime, no harm will come to us. That's the bottom line.
He'll recover us in these final days. He's promised it.
Yes. All right. Okay. All right, folks. That's going to include today's show. Thanks for listening. And what an amazing book Second Esdras is. These prophecies, I mean, they're rapid fire, one after the other, and we're seeing they're coming true as we speak. All right. Okay, folks, tomorrow morning, Restoration Hour, or the meaning and observance of the Hebrew feast days. And then at 2 o'clock, one-on-one from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. So hoping that you'll be listening to those shows as well. Okay, Greg, thank you. Praise Yahweh. See you next time, okay?